next item on the agenda before we take lunch, and we will be taking lunch directly after that, will be George Clark et al. 07-2631.
Forest with Nourishment, situated along the Chesapeake Bay, adjacent to the Sand Hill subdivision in the Savage Neck area of Northampton County.
Excuse me, sir? There you go. Thank you. Yes, sir. As long as it doesn't have any evidence on it.
Project is protested.
Please come back in 33 days and get it back, though, if it's still here.
Bonnie Hanson, property owner.
I'm sorry, Hank.
Oh, that's fine. It's a quad sheet showing the location of the project. In red, Clarkey Project, which is also the Sand Hill subdivision. It's approximately a mile and a half south of Smith Beach and less than 5 miles north of Cape Charles, and the town of Eastville is here, Chesapeake Bay. It's an aerial looking northeast. Smith Beach is in the distance. Sand Hills subdivision and the Clarkey Project is here. The property line is here in red. And the Department of Conservation and Recreation Savage Neck Natural Area Preserve is south of and adjacent to the project. As you can see, there's a large expanse of beach on the DCR project. And it's the location of a federally threatened northeast beach tiger beetle habitat.
You know a lot of those over there, don't you?
I understand we do. Another aerial showing the proposed three breakwaters. As you can see here, there is a sandbar offshore that's
endangered.
The transport of the downdrift is going to the south towards the DCR property, and the applicants have placed the three breakwaters inside of the sandbar to help with the downdrift sand movement. Again, for a closer view, there are three breakwaters along the beach and upland escarpment. There is a severe erosion, and the distance of the subdivision is approximately 1,200 feet in this area here. There's a small gazebo, two-story gazebo, right on this first lot inside, which is the Clarkey property itself. And there are five other lots in this area, plus a common lot that comes through here. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is tanker property to the north.
Pardon me.
Mr. Tanker.
Something is, you're a little bit amiss.
I may have my line in
there. Yeah, the line should be further south.
Okay. I was just trying to do the best I could for rendition. Okay. So some of our issues here is we've received three letters from DCR as our role as a steward of the Savage Neck Natural Area. They have concerns that the breakwater will starve their beach of sand and cause erosion. And should this occur, the federal threatened northeast beach tiger beetle and a rare state plant, the sea beach knockweed's habitat, would be degraded or lost. They are also concerned about the possibility of erosion on their stable beach at this time and potential loss of coastal dune community. There is large 40-foot dunes all throughout here. There are secondary dunes in most cases all throughout here. Beautiful pieces of piece of property through here. VIMS has stated that the proposed project is consistent with the integrated approach to shoreline management. However, is their opinion that the impact associated with the project can be further reduced. They recommend that the applicant consider reconfiguring the breakwater system so that the adjacent property owners will not be affected by the structures. Although VIMS is not recommending a particular breakwater design, Scott Hardaway has been to the site and has made suggestions to both the applicants and their agent contractor, Mr. James Gunn. Mr. Gunn and the applicant's consultant, VHB Inc., has designed numerous successful large-scale breakwater projects along the Chesapeake Bay and tributaries, and I'm aware of three large projects south of Cape Charles that he's been involved in, and they appear to be doing quite well. Northampton County Wetlands Board started hearing this project in the spring of this year, and the board did approve their portion of the project as modified at their November 2008 meeting. The applicant removed from the project plans for a post stone revetment that would have armored the coastal primary dune. There was a small revetment right in front of the little two-story gazebo in this area, and that has been removed. They also proposed placement of 1,000 cubic yards of sand beach offshore of DCR's property as a feeder beach to help ensure and minimize disruption of the supply of sand to downdrift properties. And that's this right here. And the applicant has also agreed to the Army Corps of Engineers special conditions as requested by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for the protection of Northeast Beach Tiger Beetle in their issued regional permit number 19. And as you can see, there's going to be impact on state bottom land of almost 60,000 square feet of nourishment, plus the feeder beach here, plus three breakwaters. And these stone breakwaters are from 1,500 pounds to 3,500 pound stones as armored. Again, these are the drawings showing the three breakwaters. The nourishment in yellow, this is our portion. That's channel word of mean low. And here's in blue is the approximate mean low water line as it existed when the survey was done. And the additional 1,000 cubic yard feeder bar that's offshore of low water in front of DCR's property. No other state agency has expressed opposition to the project except for, of course, DCR, which is the adjacent property owner. Just cross-sectionals. The height of the stone will be 6 feet above mean low water, and yellow shows the nourishment. I got four grind shots. We're starting at the southern portion of the project, and as you can see these holes here, this is the DCR property line approximate, and this is that two-story gazebo, and this little tree right in here will show up in the next couple of slides. Or should I say stump? And you can see the escarpment and the erosion. Very little beach at this time. And growing up, there was a gorgeous beach out here. Of course, that's been 40 years ago, but it was a nice beach. One last aerial showing my rendition of the property lines. And I may have this one a little messed up.
He's just a surveyor again.
And again, you can see the offshore bar coming on down, and the breakwaters will be inside, and I'll leave this one up. And our summary and recommendation, in response to DCR's concerns, the applicant has agreed to nourish the beach with compatible sand beach material, and they have removed the plans for the stone revetment along the dune, and to add 1,000 cubic yards of sandy material as a feeder beach to minimize the disruption in the sand transport to DCR's dandruff property. In addition, the applicant has also agreed to all of the Army Corps of Engineers special conditions for the protection of the Northeast Beach Tiger Beetle contained in their RP-19 permit. While we are sensitive to DCR's concerns, it appears that the project has been designed to minimize the potential for any adverse effect along the adjoining Natural Area Preserve Beach while providing protection for the applicant's eroding shoreline. As suggested by our own shoreline development best management practices, the breakwater project appears to be designed to address the site conditions such as the wave climate and the material composite, and has been designed with the appropriate spacing and distances offshore. Furthermore, the applicant has developed a plan for access to avoid impacts to adjoining resources. There's going to be a corduroy road coming down through here that was approved by the Wetlands Board also. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all the facts contained in 28.2.1205A of the code, and given the fact that the applicant has attempted to reduce the impacts to the downdrift properties by adding a feeder bar and removing the stone revetment, staff recommends approval of the project as modified, with a one-time royalty assessment in the amount of $3,625 for the beach nourishment, fill over 72,500 square feet of state-owned Syracuse bottom at a rate of 5 cents per square foot. And this would include the 12,600 square foot feeder bar in that royalty. And both sides, I believe, are here represented.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions of Hank? Mr. Fox, and then Mr. Hank.
Mr. Badger, the write-up noted that VIMS had suggested that the applicant consider reconfiguring the breakwater system so that the adjacent property owner would not be affected.
That's correct.
Has that been done in the modified plan? That
is, yes.
Okay. It didn't say that what that...
I thought about that, and VIMS is actually, their assessment was done prior to it going to the Wetlands Board.
Okay. So it has been adjusted. Okay.
To the best that they can adjust it and still protect it.
And VIMS is happy with what...
Let's hear... Do we have a representative from VIMS here? Let's
Scott Hartway is here, I believe. Or it was.
Yes.
Oh, there you are. And he can probably address it better than anyone.
How does that sound, Mr. Fox?
That sounds wonderful.
All right. Mr. Hartway? Were you here? That's where you went earlier this morning. Were you here in time to be sworn in?
Not officially.
Raise your right hand. Yes, not but one way or the other. Kind of like pregnant. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except God.
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record,
Scott,
please.
Scott Hartway with the Virginia Institute of Marine Science.
Thank you, Mr. Hartway. Can you respond to Mr. Fox's question?
Could you repeat the question?
The briefing document we received said that them states that a proposed project is consistent with an integrated approach to shoreline management. In their opinion, however, the impacts associated with the project can be further reduced. They recommend that the applicant consider reconfiguring the breakwater system so that the adjacent property owner would not be affected by the structures. Didn't say how.
Right.
I mean, our document didn't say how that was proposed. I'm just wondering if everybody's happy.
I think we're happy with the events that have unfolded, particularly with the addition of the feeder bar.
Okay.
And the revetment was part of the original concern as well, and that's also been
removed. Been removed.
Yes, sir. And so I think we are comfortable with the accommodations that the applicant have made to this point.
Okay.
Any further questions of Mr. Taggart?
I have a few questions. I missed the first part of the presentation, and I didn't know if you had perhaps a larger aerial of Savage Neck that would include that vortex station, Hank. Give us a feeling of what that offshore breakwater would be like.
You can't see it.
And what you'll see in that vortex, this is probably one of the most dynamic or high-energy locations in the Bay watershed, I suspect, given my experiences with it. And the vortex that's just north by maybe a mile gives you a feeling of what an offshore breakwater would do, and there's this scalloping out south of that vortex breakwater, which existed before they moved the vortex yet again, because there's even more erosion in that area than here. It just worries me that these breakwaters over time will take from that DCR property, from my experience.
Well, I appreciate your concern and your observations. When you get around the corner, I don't really have a good way of showing you, but if you can get us a little further up. Yeah, perhaps
that one. Is that good? Or you want to look side?
North.
North.
It's north, I think. If I may, I want to walk over
here. That's the point. Thank you.
That vortex. Mr. Tanker, is something right here.
Right there.
Yeah.
I'm having the same problem that other fellow had. I don't really have any imagery to relate to you this morning, but if we were to look at the 1937 shoreline, it would be sitting somewhere about 1,000 feet offshore down here. And as you come closer and closer and closer to this point, it starts to fade into the shoreline. So there's what happens is that the shoreline tends to make a turn right in this particular area. So this orientation changes. Consequently, the impacts of the waves change. A lot of the material that's out here and along here have come from, you know where it come from. We had a site there back in 1980 where we tried to plant marsh grass, and we surveyed it. 19 feet per year is what we measured there. A lot of the bank is sand, and there's a great feeder for the downdrift and these offshore bars. So I think the nature of this reach is really almost opposite of the nature where this, these structures are going to be put in. And that the transport, in large part, does appear to be along these bars here. And where they tend to come in, you, the beach often comes out to it, creating this, the salience that we see on the DCR property, which are essentially headlands in themselves. So there's a little different situation there, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. Any further comment, question? Thank you, sir. Is Mr. Clarkie here? Clark? Is it Clark or Clarkie? Yes, yes, sir. Would you like to address the commission?
I'm not Mr. Clark. I'm representing.
That'll be fine. Good morning, Counselor.
Morning. Not counsel either.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and none of the truth, so help you God.
Thank
you. Your name, please.
My name is Neville Reynolds. I'm with VHB. We're an engineering, planning, and environmental services firm in Williamsburg. I'm also a coastal geologist by training and was fortunate enough to start my career working for Bob and Norm Larson for this commission many years ago.
Good to have you here.
Scott and Hank have done a great job going through the project, so I won't belabor any of the points that were made. I do want to just mention a couple of things just to give you some context from the perspective of Mr. Clark and of Jim Gunn, the contractor on the project and the original designer. When he first became aware that there was an issue with the DCR property and some concerns about this project, there was an immediate dialogue established with DCR, with VIMS, with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, anyone who had intimate knowledge of the shoreline conditions here. And we, Mr. Gunn and others involved in the project, went out of their way to understand what those concerns were and to identify what steps could be taken on this project to bring it into an acceptable configuration. That has been done. You've heard the documentation on that. And I won't go back through that now. The project has, as you've seen in your record, has gone on for over a year now. And the project's been delayed primarily to gain input from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on tiger beetle habitat. There were some specific recommendations made with regard to time of year restrictions, with monitoring that would be done, both for tiger beetle habitat as well as geomorphic assessment of the shoreline change after the project was put in. Only the conditions for the time of year and the tiger beetle habitat monitoring was included in the core permit. I wanted to let the commission know that Mr. Gunn and Mr. Clark are willing to go forward with the geomorphic monitoring of the shoreline to assess potential impacts in shoreline change, and he's anticipating to do that on his own without it being a permit requirement at this time. I think the record shows that Mr. Clark and Mr. Gunn have engaged the experts in this field from around the state, both public and private sector. They've tried to accommodate the concerns that have come up. The project is consistent with recommendations from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science and this commission regarding shoreline stabilization. And with that in mind, we ask for your approval of the project.
Questions of the gentleman? Thank you so much. Again, nice to have you here. Is DCR here, represented one? Yes, sir. Come forward. Did you want to say anything to the commission? Or
yes.
Please come forward. Raise your right hand. You saw and swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name for the record.
My name is Paul Clark. I'm with the Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation. Good morning. And I appreciate the opportunity to share with the concerns that DCR has with this project. And first, I would like to recognize the applicant's positive steps and the applicant's willingness to address some of the concerns that DCR has had from the likely impacts to the natural area preserve. And in particular, I'd like to thank Mr. Gunn, who's been very cooperative and good to work with, and we certainly appreciate those efforts. However, as stated in our previous letter that we have sent to the board, DCR maintains our opposition to the project. And we do so because given the location of the southernmost breakwater, the project has strong probability that sooner or later it's going to cause shoreline erosion in the northern part of the Savage Neck Natural Area Preserve. And this is state-owned land that's owned and managed in the public trust and is also protected by the Code of Virginia's Open Space Land Act, which prohibits conservation of the protected land. Therefore, DCR's legal counsel has recommended that to retain legal standing for remedies of future damage, that the state and DCR must maintain our opposition to the project. Additionally, even with the measures that have been agreed upon by the applicant, this project still has strong potential to cause negative impacts to the existing protected habitat for the northeastern beach tiger beetle. And further, any habitat that may potentially be created as a result of this project would be, in fact, on private lands and not subject to enforceable land use restrictions that would otherwise protect the beetles. It's because of this, we believe that the trade-offs to the tiger beetles in the long run would be a degradation, and therefore we do maintain our opposition to the project. If I may ask for one clarification as well, we had they talked about the geomorphological study, but also the tiger beetle study. I just want to clarify that we were all together with that as well. That has not been mentioned. Okay. Thank you. And I'm available for comments.
Any questions, Mr. Clark? Dr. McConaughey.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm not a geologist, but it looks like with that feeder bar in there that there should be plenty of flow of sand. Why do you think that it's still going to erode?
We were looking at this in the long haul. Savage Neck Natural Area Preserve is an extraordinary place. It is the largest population of this federally threatened species, and it's extraordinary. It's a beautiful place, but if you guys have not been out there, that you will visit it and take a look at it. We believe that there's the likelihood that we are in the downdrift area of this project, and even with the feeder beach, we believe in the long run impacts to this preserve are likely to happen.
But you don't have a geological statement or have you had a geologist look at?
We have been on site. Mr. Hardaway, DCR, soil and water folks have been out there. We've talked about the adjustment area. Some of the peer review literature talks about the impacts occurring in the downdrift area of such projects. So I'm referring to the experts. I'm referring to peer review literature when I anticipate downdrift impacts to the preserve.
Thanks, sir. Further questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else here in opposition to the project? Did you want to rebut anything or did the applicant care to? Okay. Matters before the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt staff's recommendation.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Harlan, second by Mr. Schick. Further comment? I do have one. I think it's important as agency head. We would never do anything that, at least I'm certain my colleagues and I would never do anything that we believe would be detrimental to our sister agency, the DCR, at this specific time. That's why we were very, very careful to have Mr. Hardaway come up and give specific testimony as it pertained to the field of expertise that deals with this type of construction. So if it weren't for the fact that I'm convinced through the discussion with VIMS and the information that our scientific advisors provided us, I'd have a little bit more difficult time approving this, but I'm going to vote for the motion as well because I believe that the information that we received is good information, is accurate information.
Mr. Chairman, I also give some benefit to the fact that Mr. Gunn worked with the DCR and with the Fish and Wildlife people to attempt to modify the project to minimize any difficulties that might be caused.
Mr. Gunn has a reputation for being cooperative and working in these projects that I'm familiar with. He's a colleague of Colonel Rhodes, and we know that he would do that. So, Dr. McConaughey.
Well, and also that the applicant has offered to continue to monitor the shoreline so that any impacts would probably be detected early on and could be remedied.
Correct. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. We'll be in recess until about, 1:15, 1:20, thereabout. Finish the habitat docket, which doesn't look too awfully aggressive, and then